Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for Community Focus. We have a critically important subject to discuss today, and it is internet security, cybersecurity, and the different aspects that concern you. Our guests are experts. Dr. Mehmet Shayanoglu, you remember, is the author of Trustworthy Computing. He is a recognized international expert on the subject of trustworthy computing, and he is director of informatics at Auburn Montgomery. And with him today is Joel Junker, vice president of a major IT company which is oriented to the Department of Defense. He is also a faculty member of Auburn Montgomery, and both gentlemen have been here at Troy University, so welcome back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be here, too.
Joel, 3 years ago, Montgomery hosted an important conference. What was that?
Well, that was the first cyber warfare conference amongst all of the different services that were all participating in that. We had about 500 people from around the country that were here in Montgomery for about 3 days going through a conference on the trends in cyber warfare. And this is centered around the DoD, but it has ramifications in all of our critical infrastructures like dams and power systems and highways and throughout our financial centers and stuff like that. So it has a huge amount of impact on our society.
Now, last month, Mehmet, you were a presenter at a conference called Fighting Today's Wars, Stabilization Operations and Future Challenges.
I was invited to give a talk at the Eisenhower series of a conference being held for the fifth year, and through the Air War College and universities here in town. I spoke about national cybersecurity, risk assessment, and cost optimal management. We had about 250 on the last day, Wednesday, at Air War College, and there were very interesting questions about how to implement that to the military warfare.
Both of you seem to be saying that today we have a problem that has become almost a global cyber war. Is that a correct assessment?
Oh, that'd definitely be a correct assessment. I think you're seeing that the current trends are that nation can go against nation in cyber warfare, even if they can't stand up to a nation in traditional warfare. And I think you're seeing that with Iran and the United States and Israel and Iran. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is going on every day at the national level, and it's permeating down into our businesses and into our states as well.
So what's been happening with the businesses, Joel?
When I look at some of the things that are going on for my customers, I routinely see continuous probes from a variety of national actors, China, Indonesia, other places as well around the globe that are continuing to check our systems to see if they can get in. Now, this isn't just happening once or twice. This is happening continually every hour of every day.
Mehmet, I want to get back to your principles of trustworthy computing. You have, through the years, shared these principles with our listeners, and they seem to apply, whether you're talking about individuals, businesses, organizations, countries.
Exactly. Like you and Joel mentioned, these days, it's not only the reliability of a machine or a software, but its security, privacy, usability, or user-friendliness. These are very important points because you may not realize that somebody's looking over your shoulders and picking up or stealing your password or just guessing your password and causing millions of dollars of damage without even physically damaging or even infesting your computer with viruses. So the whole idea of trustworthiness is, again, a product of not just reliability as it used to be 30 years ago, but today you are talking about cybersecurity, cyber privacy, like in the social networks sense, where people are losing their privacy or banks are losing theirs, and as well as how usable your software is. And there's a lot of emphasis these days on quantitatively assessing the said risks rather than just describing them with adjectives of high, low, medium, because you cannot carry on with your budgeting or numerical dollar comparisons if you only talk about high, low, medium. You need to have real numbers. That's why in my research field, we concentrate on quantitative risk assessment to be able to give public a sense of what the real problem is in terms of figures and dollars.
You're headed to some important conferences, one in North Carolina next month, another in August in Dublin, Ireland. Will you be sharing this with them?
Yes, I have been invited to those both conferences, one in North Carolina, Cary, North Carolina, on cloud computing, which is an aspect of today's ways and means of making life easy for the public rather than buying and, you know, possessing all the computer software and hardware. You can just suffice with a terminal in your house, just like you use light bulbs, and just rent all the services from a cloud, paying the least amount of money. Of course, there are problems of privacy and problems of other stuff. But the other one is in Dublin, Ireland, and I am the organizer of a session called Risk Assessment in Trustworthy Computing. There I'm going to share with the world risk scientists and statisticians and engineers how to, again, quantitatively assess the risk and cost optimally manage it.
Joel, you're following hackers and the damage they do. Share your advice with our listeners as we go toward this cloud computing.
Yes, cloud computing. And that's just a very economical way for businesses and communities and organizations to get access to high quality computing resources without having to pay for them up front and the large investment up front like that.
But there again, more people have your name, your number, your contact information.
There is certainly a large security concern associated with cloud computing. It's not that it can't be solved, but it does have to be solved in order to make cloud computing a secure solution for businesses, because we see a lot of things going on a day-to-day basis, and users out there, people. At the end of the day, they're people that have their information that is potentially stealable remotely. A month ago or so ago, it was published by about a large IT security consulting firm where their senior management used an easy password, and by using that easy password, it compromised the entire company, not just them. It compromised the entire company. Obviously, there was a lot of embarrassment on the part of that company since they were a large and well-respected IT security company that did work in the federal space. But that challenge is around everywhere, in your banks and in your schools, in your municipalities. We have the same challenges. And when it comes to privacy, our data, our citizens' data, is being stored in a lot of these systems. So failures by those individuals in those locations could result in identity theft of somebody who doesn't work there or who is not a part of that organization at all and doesn't even know that this happened.
So is there any such thing as privacy anymore?
It's a challenge.
Matt, social networking, you've done some work in that area and protecting one's identity in social networking. Share your advice there for your listeners.
Yes, this is just like Joel mentioned, privacy is no more private. I mean, it's just all over the space. When you email someone, everybody sees it. Even if everybody doesn't see it, the proprietors of that IPS does see it. Well, the way to be vigilant about it is that you do not want to share your secrecies or your important messages with people over social networks. It's as it says, when you're social with someone, you don't share your family's secrets with them or your budgets or your bank account. So that's very important. And secondly, you don't use all these social networks as means to be angry or be maybe too friendly or opposite. It's the idea is socialize. And that's why we have gotten into some research with the social networking and trying to quantitatively assess the risks of social networks and minimize these risks, how, what to do about it. So this is one research paper that will be presenting at Dublin, Ireland on how to measure the risk and how to minimize it. And I would actually, from this same point of view, encourage people who are interested in these fields to go and look for educational degree programs that are now mushrooming in the United States. We at Auburn University Montgomery have established a new program called Cyber Systems and Information Security, which I'm the coordinator of. There, we do teach the material to our students, potential students, for finding ways and means to do that. And you and I have talked about this over the 12 years. Education is essential.
And Mehmet, if people who are listening to you right now are interested in that particular course, this master's degree course, how can they find out more?
Well, they can just go to the website, which is www.aum.edu/CSIS.
Okay.
By the way, this program was also supported by all colleges, including my former university, Troy, and encouraged because it's the only master's degree program in cybersecurity of its kind in the South, the first one in the South, south of the Carnegie Mellon University system.
And this is great news that you're trying to stay a step ahead with the risk.
Exactly.
Safeguard the consumers.
Be proactive.
I discovered another website, and Joel, you and Mehmet are both familiar with this, and this is U.S. CERT. What is U.S. CERT?
Well, U.S. CERT is an organization that monitors all the various vulnerabilities that are out there in the wild, and they move that information to all different organizations at the national and the state and the local levels, commercial companies, schools, everybody who needs to know that information. It becomes readily available through U.S. CERT. So they're the clearinghouse for all the concerns about illegal or otherwise activities associated with cybersecurity.
If they want to check this website, it's the www.us-cert.gov, and it does have a section on cyberbullying, which so many parents are concerned about right now. And again, if you're interested in the new Master of Science in Cyber Systems and Information Security program at Auburn Montgomery, it's www.aum.edu/CSIS. I want to thank you both for keeping our listeners up to date on exactly what's happening with cybersecurity issues.
I want to add one more thing before saying goodbye to our audience, and I thank you so much for your interest in this. And one thing I would like to emphasize is that this program you just heard about is for the good of public and community. It is blessed by the instructors who are from the field, like Joel, from the IT field, who have all the experience to teach our students, not just academic, but also very pragmatic.
They have the day in and day out cyber warfare responsibility, cyber defense.
Yes, and I'd like to echo that as well. As a practitioner in this arena, having done a lot of this type of work over the last dozen years, it is exceptionally important, extremely important, that we secure the best and the brightest talent and give them all the skills that they need to have to adequately prepare to defend our schools and our municipalities and our businesses and our country in the years ahead as we see a new form of international politics arrive through this thing that we call cyber warfare.
Are you optimistic, Joel, that we can stay ahead of that?
Yes, I am optimistic because, you know, if you'll remember, if you think about the United States, you think about who built the first computer, who built the most pervasive operating systems in the world, where did they come from, and it's all in the United States. We have the best and the brightest here. We just have to keep the education alive throughout our country wherever we need to apply the types of skills to make it successful.
Thank you both for being here. Our guests were formerly with Troy University, and Dr. Mehmet Shayanoglu is the author of the standard book, Trustworthy Computing. Joel Junker, vice president of a major IT company dedicated to cyber defense work with the Department of Defense. We'll take you back to Troy for the remainder of your news hour. Our program is a public service of Troy University.